Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We are here with another Boots, Balls and Bras FA Cup special. Should I say Women's FA Cup special? We have Jenna Scalacci, former Tottenham captain, started at Tottenham when they were grassroots, 16 years of age, I'm right in saying, become Tottenham captain, played over 300 games for Tottenham, lifted eight trophies along the way, and then was promoted to the WSL with Tottenham in 2018-19 season. So Jenna, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously, it's a great time to be a Spurs women's fan at the minute. So just loving every second of it. It's a rare feeling for us.
I'm glad you said a Spurs women's fan. As the men seem like they're on a downward spiral right now. We'll just touch a little bit on your career at Tottenham, because obviously you started when Tottenham were grassroots. So yeah. When you was at Tottenham, it was grassroots. Who did you have to look up to in the female game when you were playing?
To be honest, not very many females. I think I got to watch the FA Cup final once a year on BBC One. And back then it was only ever Arsenal or Charlton in the final. So for me, it was always Rachel Yankee or Kelly Smith. But like I say, I didn't know you could go down to Boreham and watch them or anything like that. So for me, it was mainly I had male role models because I used to go to White Hart Lane every week. So on the male side, it was David Ginola, just because he was left-footed.
Oh, I loved him. I loved him. I loved him.
Yeah,
we shared the same birthday. I love number 14. I was like, I loved him.
Yeah, so him, he was my role model growing up. Was absolutely obsessed. Just literally used to get to the match, watch him do his set pieces during the warm-up, the minute the stadium opened. But yeah, on the female side, it was Arsenal players.
Yeah, of course. But you're right, it was the women's game was only shown once a year on BBC, and that was the FA Cup. And that's why the FA Cup, in terms of the women's game, which we'll touch on in a minute, is so special to us. But what was it like and what were the challenges at Tottenham when you were amateur and it was grassroots? What challenges did you face?
Yeah, so many. But I think that's the same for probably everyone in our generation, really. But when I first joined, when I was 16, it was just literally for fun. I was just obviously obsessed with Tottenham. I was playing in, my dad started a team at the time, and I saw in the Tottenham programme that they're the ladies team. So I was like, in their ear, you've got to take me down. But I couldn't go till I was 16. So yeah, I turned up one Thursday night. It was like 9 o'clock at night in an estate in Tottenham. And my mum took me like she takes me everywhere still. And the warm up, the coach was like, you jog around the estate. And my mum's like, what? Hang about, she's 16, so she's following in her car, trying not to be spotted. But in terms of coaching or anything, it was literally just have a ball and that's it. Everyone was probably like 10 to 15 years older than me, but I absolutely loved it. So that was my first experience as a 16-year-old. It was completely separate from the men, so yeah. It was run by volunteers. I think Glenn Weaver, who was a huge part of the club, he was paying for the facilities out of his own pocket and his love for Tottenham. And then I left there, went to another couple of teams, went to uni and came back when I was 23 years old. And the setup had completely changed. Karen was now in place as the boss, Karen Hills. There was a physio and an assistant coach, which when I look back,
that's a luxury.
That was big back then. And there were girls my age as well, which blew my mind as well, because I was only used to playing with older girls. And there was a reserve team and the setup was completely different. There was a tiny bit of buy-in from the club in the sense that Karen worked full-time with the club during the day. So there was that connection. But it was still paying to play. We paid for our kit, had to stop at the petrol station for post-match food, which used to be like people would get the bargain donuts or something, like £1 for the opposition.
I used to get the pepperoni. Terrible.
I mean, there was no true nutrition at all. It was like the cheapest food you could find. And then we season by season, the club started to invest a bit more. We started to attract better players. And then we got to a point where we were, I think, the league below the championship. And we were, I think it was the National Southern at the time. And Juan Carlos Amoros turned up one night in a, again, a pitch in Tottenham. And Karen was giving him, there was an advert about the reserve team manager. So he turned up, he'd been in the country about a week, with balls on his back, his cones, bless him, for to take the reserve team. So Karen said, look, you can take the first team, do like 20, 30 minutes. Anyway, he did the whole session. We all absolutely fell in love with him. And that's when their little duo started. So he was never a reserve team manager, but he was actually volunteering for a very long time. Then he got a job at Tottenham as well. And then from that moment onwards, we got promotion into the championship. And then again, the calibre of players improved. Tottenham invested more money. We were then semi-professional, so going to work in London 5 days a week. And then we were training at the men's training centre, which I don't know if you've been there, but it's absolutely, it's incredible. It's out of this world. The facilities are amazing.
I went to the stadium and I was amazed by the stadium.
it's pretty much on, like that. Yeah, it's on the same level as the stadium. So yeah, we were there every night, but still, you would have known, we were like not on till the last slot in the night. The 13-year-old boys were on before us, and we're not getting home till like 10:30, 11 at night, going into the gym at like 10 o'clock, and then having to do it again and again 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And then you could be anywhere. And yeah, so the first season in the championship for us was just about surviving, because it's a really tough league to get out of. And then it wasn't till Christmas in our second season that we were like, oh, hang about. If we win every game here, we could be up for promotion, because Man United entered the league that season. So there were 2 spots. So we took it week by week, and then it got to like, I think it was probably 2 months. And then we were like, oh, we could be professional footballers here. And even the club, like we did it. The club had planned for it to happen the season after. So even they were starting to panic, because you have to meet all the criteria. Anyway, we went on and done it, and it was like an incredible 2 months. It was a credible journey, and it was done with probably like a core group of players who had been with the team for maybe 5, 6, 7 years, which was unreal considering we've been on this journey, and with the same staff as well, and still people volunteering to get us there. And yeah, the club invested in us. And now, I mean, the women have their own facilities. It's just incredible. Some of the best facilities in the country. They're building a brand new women's and girls stadium training facility next to the men's, which Daniel Levy wants to be the best in the world, which we know he builds things good, right? So it's going to be amazing. So, yeah, the club are fully on board now, which is incredible.
You literally have been through the journey, and some of your stories, it just reminds me. I found my advertisement in the Chelsea program, all of the things you're talking about is some of the stuff where obviously the women's game started, and obviously it's in a tremendous place now. But you was the Tottenham captain for a long period of time. How did your role as captain change through those periods? Obviously, when you talk about being amateur, and then obviously it starts to get professional, and then you turn professional. How as a captain did you have to change and adapt?
Yeah, I mean, looking back when I was younger, I never had myself down as captain material, to be honest. I'm not like a fiery person at all. I'm probably the most laid back person you'll ever find. Like not much roles me, to be honest. And I remember Juan, our current captain at the time. So it was, I think I'd been playing for them for like 4 seasons then. And she just one day didn't turn up, because that's what players used to do back then. There was no commitment or anything. And he pulled me aside and he was like, he used to call me Nina. It's girls in Earth all know. It's girls in Spanish, Nina. Okay. Everyone's a Nina. Nina, I need you to keep the group together, because we didn't have a really good season. We were close to relegation, and players, it was towards the end of the season, people were checking out anyway. But we just knew we couldn't get relegated that season, because then we'd probably lose everyone. And it was when we were kind of on the up as well. So the club were starting to take notice. And I was like, what? I've only ever really done this for fun. Like I like just to turn up and go home. I don't want any of this extra responsibility. And he's like, trust me, you've got this. You're good. Everybody loves you. You'll be good at it. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not, because our other captain, she was, she was loud. But I always used to just turn up and play. Anyway, so I was like, all right, I'll do it just till the end of the season. And I actually really loved it. Like, I think I didn't realize how much of a voice I had with the team at the time. And Juan was like, if you talk, they'll listen. So I was like, all right, let's give this a try. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, actually, I do have a voice here. And people trusted me. And I was kind of like that bridge, obviously, as a captain between the coaching team and the players. And then as we progressed through the leagues, it kind of turned into I was the face of the team when we were going to like the club to ask for more, to knock down doors, to demand better standards for ourselves. And to be honest, I couldn't, as we were going through the leagues and I was lifting trophies, and obviously we played at White Hart Lane the week before it got knocked down and we won the league there. Now, as a little girl, I used to have my seat behind the goal and I'd always like dream of it, but you know, it's never really, you dream of it, but it's never going to actually happen. I remember like walking out to lift it up and I saw all my family. I was like, oh my God, like what have I just done? And I wouldn't have had those moments if I wasn't the captain and stepped up. But it definitely changed over the years. And then, obviously in the championship, we had different players coming in, but I'm quite a good people person. And on the pitch, I am that calm head. Like, I'm not a shower. I just let my football do the talking back then. And I think when you're a Tottenham player, it's all about giving 150% every time you're on that pitch and like dying for the badge. And that's what I would have done anyway. And I think that kind of set the standard. But yeah, and then going into the WSL, captain there, obviously we had big players coming in at the time. So it was, a different journey. And there was more challenges because as a club, we weren't fully ready to be promoted. So our training facilities weren't, you know, we were training at a Hive, Barnet, which is a public field during the season. Just dogs running our pitch and all sorts. There was an old man just taking a picture of us, and Juan thought he was paparazzi. Got him escorted off the building, bless him.
You know what, it does come up with his game, doesn't it? But you talk there, though, you talk about like a captain, and like, we always assume that a captain is the one that is the loudest, but the best captains I've had are the ones that are calm, are the ones that are able to communicate differently with each individual. And obviously when it comes to the manager and relaying messages in a constructive way, like they've always been the best captains I've played. Like Kelly Smith, for example, like never shouted at anyone on the pitch, but you knew you could have that kind of level-headed conversation with her and you knew where it was going, and that she was always kind of on your side with that. So yeah, I think you're not doing yourself any justice in saying you can't do that. But I was going to ask you about your favourite Tottenham moment before we move on to the FA Cup, but I think you've just said it, but you could tell us anyway. I'm imagining it's White Hart Lane in the cup, right?
That was unbelievable. I still couldn't believe my luck. And that was the day we first had a name on our shirt as well. And Karen and Juan were acting a bit shifty, weren't less in the changing room. And then they opened the door and we had our names on our shirts. And it's so small, but like we'd never had anything like that. So yeah, that night just was unreal. And then obviously promotion to the WSL, but I don't remember much about that night, to be honest.
I bet you don't. But that's a little bit about Jenna and her career at Tottenham, and obviously, you know, where the women's game was and where it's at now. And they're obviously sitting in a really good position. So Tottenham, you know what? It's a surprise to me as well, Jenna, when I was looking at it, because I've been quite critical of Tottenham, and probably because I think the name carries so much weight with it in terms of like you look at the men and everything else. So you just expect that the women will follow. I mean, having only been in the WSL since the 2020 season, 2019-2020 season, it's crazy to think that it's only, 4 or 5 years they've been professional. I probably give them too much stick for that. But they're currently sitting sixth in the WSL. They've had 7 wins, 7 draws and 6 losses. They've won 28 points. And if you compare it to last year, where they'd won five, drawn three, and lost 14. If you compare it to there, how well are Tottenham doing, and what do you think, what changes were made in order for that progression this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think this season was about literally as simple as being better than last season, because last season the club were in a place that they never should have been in. Like a club like Tottenham Hotspur can't be in a relegation battle, and I think there's a lot of factors that come down to that, but I think in the summer the club really took a look at itself, the whole club as a whole, on the men's side as well. Robert's come in and his style of play matches Ange's style of play, and they made it very clear they're not going to change that. I think last season, and I guess it comes with a relegation battle, the players look like they were scared every time they got the ball. Like they didn't want to go forward because they knew, you know, they didn't want to take risks. They didn't want to be brave, which I understand. And I think that's part of the problem why they ended up in a relegation battle. But this season, I think Roberts come in. They had a lot of rid of some players, new players in. And Robert is so, so calm. Like I can't even, he's the calmest man in the building every day. And he encourages them to be brave. And if they make mistakes, it's fine. As long as you're winning the ball back, that's fine. You be brave. And I remember going to, I think I was watching the Aston Villa game early on in the season, and they were 1-0 down, and then it was 1-1. And there was like a minute to go, and Jess Naz had the ball. And maybe because I'm a scarred Tottenham fan, I was like, oh, Jess, just go to the corner, just wait, just sit in half time. And all I could hear was Robert, drive Jess, go to, like, just demanding that she go. And yeah. Then they got a goal before, like, literally half time. And that's so refreshing because, and I think, imagine a player who's gone through that relegation battle who was absolutely petrified to put a foot wrong the season before. So I think he has a lot to do with it. I think, obviously, the leadership from Beth England, Drew Spence in there, having her back fully fit now has been huge. Becky Spencer. And yeah, I think the recruitment's gone well. They're now recruiting a certain type of player, a younger player for the future. But then they've got players like Beth England to lead it as their captain. But they've made like no mistake that they want to be in the Champions League or close to that top three in the next 5-6 years. So the club is fully on board with that. Obviously, they're going to build a world-class facility, so they want a world-class team to be ready to go into that. But yeah, I think it goes down to a lot of the culture at the club as well. When I was playing, it was always like a family. Everyone had each other's backs. It was, you know, you'd have a tough day, but you had your teammates or your staff around you. And I think that was missing last season. Again, that probably comes with the pressure of a relegation battle, but now it feels like it's like the Tottenham that I know. Everyone's, maybe it helps because they're in the FA Cup final, but yeah, we've seen them take points. Obviously, Arsenal was huge at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which they've never got really near Arsenal before. I think that was huge and a real mentality shift. Then obviously beating Man City on pens, another huge mentality shift because we've never really got near the top team. So I think that mentally plays a huge, huge part that now they actually don't fear anybody.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because obviously beating Arsenal for the first time at the Tottenham Stadium 1-0, and then obviously that massive quarter final, FA Cup quarter final victory over Manchester City on penalties. I was going to say, how does that then change? Do you reckon the Arsenal game that come early in the season at the Tottenham Stadium changed the shift in mentality in terms of actually, you know, we can, if we are collectively together, can beat these top teams and have these one-off moments?
I think, I don't know if you watched the Chelsea match at Stamford Bridge, the opening game of the season for them. I was actually in a meeting at the club yesterday, and the manager director was telling the story, and it was kind of like Robert was new in, they had new players, had a new style, but they were going to Stamford Bridge, and Robert was adamant they're going to play this style of football. And everyone's like, oh God, we actually don't know how this is going to go. We do not have a clue how this is going to go. And actually, since then, thankfully, they came out of it really disappointed to come away with nothing. And I think that there changed everything, that performance, because if they'd have gone there and got absolutely battered, we might not be seeing them play the way they're playing now. But I know when they got beaten by City, I think it was 7-0. They were adamant that it's fine. They'll keep going. They're not changing anything. They'll keep working harder how they want to play. And ultimately, I think they played Man City 4 times before they actually beat them in the quarterfinal. So, yeah, I do think beating those top teams is huge mentally for them.
I was going to say, watching Tottenham this year, it's like watching a completely new team. And I spoke to them with Vicky Jepson, obviously Emily Westwood. They were in the same hotel the other week when you had Man United away in that 2-2 draw. And I was just saying, like, I know I give Tottenham a load of stick last year, but I expected more, you know, with the calibre of players that you were bringing in, the likes, as you mentioned, they have Drew Spence and Beth England. I expected more from them, but I don't know what you put it down to. You know, I questioned the manager last year. That's just my opinion outside of everybody else's. I didn't think they were good enough to manage the group and give the group the freedom that they've shown this year. And, you know, as I said, even in those games that you've lost this year, in terms of the identity, it's been there. So you don't mind losing when you kind of know that there's something that you're all trying collectively to do together. So actually it's been really enjoyable. But we'll touch on the FA Cup, because it is the first time, obviously, Tottenham have made history. They made history getting to the FA Cup semi-final, and then they went one better with that victory over Leicester in extra time. And now they're in the FA Cup final. How do you think, or what do you think reaching the FA Cup final this season means to Tottenham going forward, like obviously this season and then obviously going forward after this?
Yeah, it's obviously huge. I mean, there's the buzz around the club at the minute is unreal. I've never felt nothing like it. And everyone's stopping you. Everyone's talking about it, which is unreal considering what happened last season. And obviously the FA Cup is the most prestigious cup there is. You know, everyone knows about it. And to think that probably 8-9 years ago, we weren't even semi-professional. It blows my mind. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. But I mean, I think getting there anyway is massive. But I think given the way their run's gone, they've faced every scenario possible in this FA Cup run. You know, last minute winners, added time, penalties against some top teams. And I think they're not going there just to take part now. I think they're going there with a real chance that they could actually, you know, if they all show up on that day, they can potentially lift that cup. I think they'll go into it as the underdogs, but I think if they win it, it's just, again, like, I feel like Tottenham's on a club that's kind of like trying to keep, it's just going so quick and they're trying to keep up with it. But I can't even imagine what will happen if they win it. I think the caliber of player, again, that you'll attract, it will just go through the roof.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The club will... Yeah, I mean, it's they'll invest heavily even more, I imagine, because you've got to keep the momentum going after an event like that. It's huge.
For sure. You mentioned there, Jenna, going in as underdogs. If you look at obviously the results, I think Spurs have lost 10 to Man United in previous head-to-heads, and I think they've drawn 2 or 4, I can't remember off the top of my head, something along the lines of that. So they've actually never beat United. Will they take some confidence from the recent fixture? Because the most recent one, obviously, they were 2-0 up, 2-1 at one time, and they conceded a late goal against Man United. Will they take some confidence from that game going into this final, given the performance that they had in that game?
Yeah, I think they have to. I mean, earlier on in the season, they got beaten 4-0, so that was a heavy defeat. So I think, obviously, they'll be disappointed to, you know, concede the 3 points in the manner they did last, I think it was the last touch of the game, really.
Literally the last touch of the game.
Painful. But, yeah, I think they can take that confidence, of course. And I think they've got good momentum at the minute. They've, you know, been on a good run. They have to take that into it. And I think they'll also they'll cast their minds back to, obviously, the victories against Arsenal, the victory against Man City, which are huge, huge moments for the club. And obviously, the support for the women's team now is growing and growing, you know, with every victory that they have. It's great to see. So, yeah, I think they'll be... Yeah, they'll take a lot from that, I think.
Yeah, I think they have to. There's obviously a big player for Tottenham. Those of the listeners that don't know, Grace Clinton has been phenomenal for Tottenham this year. She's been on loan to Tottenham from Manchester United and so is ineligible to play in this cup final. How big a miss is that for Tottenham going into this final, given the season she's had?
Oh, yeah. I mean, You've got to feel, I feel so sorry.
I'm gutted. You know what? I'm so gutted. I hate this rule. I'm so gutted. Man United didn't want her at the beginning of the season. She gets to her first ever FA Cup final. She should be allowed to play.
And she was a huge part of it as well. So, like, it's just gutting. And she's so young. And, I mean, she's been probably, considering her age, one of our key players all season. She's part of this, you know, journey and all the special moments that we've had this season because of her in that midfield. But, yeah, I'm absolutely gutted for her. And, of course, it'll be a loss. And I think when Man United and Chelsea were playing, I reckon she was the only person probably hoping for a Chelsea win at the time. But yeah, I think it's so unfair. I know she's probably still struggling with it at the minute, but yeah, I agree. I hate that rule, but I think I don't know what's going on. She'll go back to Man United next season and let's see if they utilise her or send her on. I don't know.
It's an interesting one. It's one that's really gutting for the player, as you said. She's only young. She's had a fantastic season and it would have been her first major final for somebody so young. But you obviously work at the club, right? Do you have contact with the first team? Are you in and around it? I was just going to see if you give us any insights how the players will be feeling. Are they calm this week? Like, what have they been getting up to in this week building up to the FA Cup?
They were doing some yoga yesterday out in the sun. Relaxing. I'm in and out, so I'm back in there today. But they're quite calm, actually. I was speaking to Jess and Kit and Roz last week, and it's kind of been like a big build-up for them where they haven't been allowed to think about it. It's just been like an elephant in the room, really, because you've got to focus on your next game. But no, they're excited. I still don't think they can actually believe that they're there, especially those girls that have been through the journey. Like Ash has been there for 8 years now. So she was like playing for fun as well, traveling down from Birmingham 4 nights a week. But yeah, I was speaking to them about like, how are you going to feel when you walk out of Wembley? And like Ross was like, well, most of us have been at a World Cup, which is huge. You know, you've obviously got Beth England, Drew Spence, Becky Spencer, loves an FA Cup final, doesn't she? So they've got those players around, the young players who may be feeling a bit like, I was speaking to Jess and she's like, I can't believe it. My Instagrams haven't stopped going off. Jess and hers.
I was going to say, how important are the likes of Drew Spence, Beth England and Becky Spence? You know, with their experience of being at FA Cups and playing in big games for the group.
Yeah, I think it's priceless, especially going into a game like that. Like you say, like they've won FA Cups. They know what it takes. They're winners. They've won WSL titles. So I think for a new group, because there's a lot of young players who've come in from abroad this season. You know, you've got Charlie Grant, Nilden. There's quite a few of them that are completely new, settling in. So I think to have them and them talk about their experiences around the young players, and just having, I think, that calm head on the day, because it must be quite daunting for someone that's never played in front of, 90,000 people at Wembley. Like, and I guess they still can't believe that they're going, which it might. Yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah, it's mad. It's mad. I still, like I said.
Am I right, Jenna, in thinking the girls went to Wembley this week just to have a little look around, just have a kind of feel for the stadium? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, they went, I think it was last week before they went off to Everton, they did their visit.
They didn't want to leave it the week of the game, no?
No, I think this week is all about back to it now, I think.
Cool. Obviously the final is between Man United and Tottenham, and obviously Manchester United got there last year and obviously lost that game to Chelsea, but whichever team wins the game on Sunday, they're going to make history because it will put another new name onto the FA Cup trophy. So obviously it's a massive game. If I was to ask you for a player to look out for, would you throw one out there for us? Which Tottenham player is going to be key in this game for you on Sunday?
For me, I'm going to stick with Jess. I think she's grown so much this season. I think we're finally seeing, because she's been with Tottenham since she was a 16-year-old, and I know she suffered an ACL injury and has maybe not come back to her full potential. But I think this season and the belief that Robert's given her, she's getting on the score sheet. She's looking sharper than ever. So for me, I feel like this stage is set for kind of like one of our own to go out there and, you know, a young player make her mark at Wembley and in the history books. But then I can't help thinking about Martha Thomas, who loves scoring massive goals for us against her old team. So I'm torn. I'm torn between. I'll stick with Jess.
You know what? I'd love Jess Naz. And I know you've got the likes of Martha Thomas and obviously you've got Beth Ing. I'd love Jess Naz to play down the middle, if I'm deadly honest. Yeah. In terms of the pitch is so big and I think her attributes and I think being out wide, it might take some of her legs away, you know, as the game goes on. We know what it's like. Emotion, it literally drains you, the excitement. I don't want her to blow up in terms of all of that because I remember being at Wembley in the FA Cup final for Arsenal and against Chelsea and literally it was about 60 minutes. I'm like, my legs are gone. And I was in holding midfield. So God knows for Jess out on the wing, but I'd like to see her more centre. I think she's been more effective there at latter stages in games. If you were to give a score prediction?
2-1 to Tottenham. I've said it all week. I can't change it now. 2-1.
Yeah, you have to stick to it. And then last thing, as the former captain of the club, what would your last words, if you was around this group of players, be before they go out onto the pitch?
Oh, I'm about to do a video for them, so this could be my warm-up. No, for me, I think the fact that I'm even like wishing them good luck for an FA Cup final is unbelievable achievement. But I think go out there, be present, enjoy it, and like it's literally there for the taking. Like, be brave. It's 90 minutes between them and putting their names in a history book forever for the club. So that would be my message.
There you go. And that's why you were Tottenham captain. Short, sweet, and right to the point. So anyway, good luck to both teams at the weekend. Tottenham against Manchester United in the Women's FA Cup final. Jenna, are you going to be there?
I am, working,
as a fan, are you working for the club or what are we doing?
Working for Spurs TV, so bit of fan, bit of work,
A bit of a Prosecco on the side.
There we go.
We'll enjoy
hopefully
the game.
Champagne at the end.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good one for you. I'll be there as well. Thanks,
Jenna. With your Spurs shirt on?
To be fair, there might be, I mean, I don't know which fan will take me more, Man United or Spurs.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.